cannot overtake. There is no stronghold too strong that your love cannot tear it down. There is a hope that's alive. I feel it burning on the inside. There is a blood that's overcome. Oh, King of Kings, let your kingdom come. Let every heart, let every song raise the Lord. Let all of the earth, all of creation raise the wind. You are the God who restores with just one word the world was full. You are the Spirit whose light is breaking forth like the dawn from night. You are the one who holds the keys, and every battle is your victory. Yours is the blood that's overcome. You give kings, let your kingdom come. And let every heart, let every soul. All of the earth, all of creation, praise your name. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. Let all of the earth, all of creation, praise your name.
Your light is brighter than the sun, stronger than the grave. Yes, it is. Your love has overcome the darkest of days.
Your light is brighter than the sun, it's stronger than the grave. Your love has overcome the darkest of days. Let every heart, let every soul.
I
glory is falling in this place. And I see hope restored, the healing of all diseases. I sing praises, I sing praises. I give you honor, worthy Jesus. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. Invading this place, and I see angels that praising His holy name. I sing praises, I sing praises. Give you honor, worthy Jesus. I see glory is falling in this place. I see hope restored, the healing of all diseases. I sing praises, I sing praises. Give you honor, worthy Jesus. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory.
Worthy Jesus. Fears changing now. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow.
Overflowing.
reason we came.
Lord raising up disciples. He spent all night inquiring of the Father as to who to choose. Those men left their nets, the Bible says, and followed him. And you find Jesus consistently instructing and teaching and training and mentoring. In very limited times do you have the disciples raising their hand and saying, "Teacher, could I ask a question?" But they did on one occasion. They said, "Lord, would you teach us to pray as John taught his disciples?" And he said, "When you pray, say," I'm in Luke 11, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," here we go, "on earth as it is in heaven." And if you think about that, in heaven there's no depression, there's no anxiety, there's no confusion, there's no chaos, there's no COVID, there's just no thing like, there's no sickness in heaven. Come on. Anybody need a touch in body tonight? There's no sickness. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we've sang declarations tonight. I was noticing by the choice our worship leaders chosen, there's been declarations about heaven and the openness of heaven upon God's people. Father, right now we declare an open heaven in this place. An open heaven. Heaven come down, we sang it. Here as in heaven, we sang it. Lord, would you make that happen tonight? We're church folk. We've come out tonight. We're not concerned about the crowd. You already prophesied and said straight is the gate, narrow's the way, and there are only going to be a few that would find it anyway. So you've delivered us from numbers because that's not really what we're concentrating on. And we thank you for that. Help us to concentrate on you. Help us to concentrate on you. Help us to show you your worth, your value, your worth. We worship you tonight. We worship you. And speak peace and blessing and anointing and fire upon our guests tonight. Lord, would you take a coal from the altars as we used to pray it in the old days and touch his lips of clay. And Lord, let it burn tonight with a fire. Spoke about passion today. Let it burn with a fire and a passion tonight to touch your people. The ones who need to be here are assembled here. And Lord, we give you praise. And we thank you in advance for just an open heaven among us. In Jesus' strong name. And everybody said amen. And amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, say it. Here as in heaven. Here as in heaven. Here as in heaven. Let it be done tonight. You can be seated in his presence. So good to see our friends here tonight. We're so glad you're here. We're so glad you're here to join us and worship the Lord together and to receive from the Lord. Good to see Pastor Hans and Pastor Walter Byram tonight. Praise God. Love these guys. Amen. You love these guys? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to see you, Steve. God bless you, my friend. Praise the Lord. We're just going to believe God tonight to meet us here. Amen. We've sung it. We've worshiped him. Would you just give a warm, a husky welcome, Northeastern North Carolina welcome to our friend Doug Eccles as he comes tonight. Would you do that?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday night. And since March, I haven't been in church a lot on Sunday night, but maybe four or five times. But I'm going to tell you something. I love Sunday night because you're free. Always Sunday morning, you always feel like you got to put a few things in and do a few things. But, you know, fanatics come to church on Sunday night when they don't have to. That means you'll love the Lord an awful lot. I'm glad you're here, and I am glad to see friends here and pastors that are my friends and partners with the ministry, and we're just very glad to get together tonight. We love Pastor Wallace Phillips. We love his wife. We had a good time today, and I'll tell you, Lori and I, we feel blessed when we're here. And we know that God has got better things in store. I love somebody that loves the move of the Spirit, you know, and you don't always find that, somebody that wants that, you know. And a lot of places I go, they put all kinds of restrictions. Don't say this. Don't talk about this. He said, just do whatever the Lord tells you to do. Isn't that better? That's better. Amen. I'm glad to be here. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking about this. Remember the Apostle Paul? I'm going to read something to you. And then we'll, I'm going to show a little video here. But in Galatians, the second chapter, verse 9 and 10, it says, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go under the heathen and they under the circumcision." So they're telling Paul that he should keep preaching to the heathen, and they're going to go to the Jew. Now, but this, he said, "Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do." Here, the leaders of the church are having to tell Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, remember the poor. And I think sometimes we need to, you know, we get so used to it. We see things, we see pictures, and we hear of these things. But I'm going to tell you something. Something happened to me when I was in Haiti over 10 years ago when that earthquake took place. I was there that day, and the Lord delivered me. But I'm going to tell you, it's put something in me. I never want to forget what I saw. I never forget the dead bodies I saw that laying along the side of the road. And I never forget all those things because I believe the Lord spared my life. And all I know is I'm a debtor to the people of Haiti. And because of that, we're doing the water wells, we're doing the school we have going on there, we have a church on top of the mountain, and some of you have been there with me, and Brother Walter has been there, and others that are here, but you know, on that mountain, we have a school and a church, and that's where we have one of our newest water wells, but it's not just an average water well, okay? We do different kinds. We do PVC wells. We do them made out of metal, but when you make them out of metal and they break, then the Haitians can't fix them. But when they're out of PVC, they can fix them. And I found it's much easier for them to fix something for $7 or $8 or me have to come in there for $700 or $800 and fix a metal one. So I may look stupid, but I'm not dumb. All right? So, but this one is unlike that. We're taking water to that whole mountain, and we put a building, you know, like you'd put in your backyard to put your mower in and stuff. We put a building over this water well, and there's spigots coming out the side, but there's also a big tank on the roof, and then it's going to four locations on that mountain, and water is going to the church, and everybody there is getting that fresh water. But again, how many know water doesn't get you to heaven? But living water does. So all we do with that is it's just bait. You know, bait. You know what bait is? Bait doesn't do anything, but it helps you catch fish. Right? And we use that as bait because when we go back in there, right at the bottom of that street, near that well where we dug at the bottom, we should have dug at the top, but we couldn't get machinery at the top. All right, water goes downhill. How many think that'd be smarter? But, you know, I'm an Okie. We do things the hard way. We did it at the bottom, all right? And we're pumping it up. But here's the thing. At the bottom of that hill, they play soccer every day. And I told the leaders in that community, many of them have helped us with some of the projects there. Most of them are not Christian, but they respect us because we've helped their kids. We've helped their families. And I said, look, we're going to shut this road off when we come back and we're going to have a crusade and we're expecting the mountain to be saved. I believe it's time that we remember the poor, all right? And I think this is a good thing. You know, I believe there's people here that you understand what water, how important it is. You know, I think we get a little nonchalant about it. We forget that today we went and took a shower, we flushed our toilet, we did all these things that if we don't have water, I don't know. You know, a few weeks ago, we were out of electricity just for a few hours. But you know what we did? We packed up, went over to a friend's house, spent the night. Because I'm not going to be hot for 10 minutes in Oklahoma, all right? And so we went. But you know what? There's people that don't have that luxury. And we can be a blessing to them. And I believe it'll open their hearts to the things of the Lord. And one of the plans we have is starting to bring some of these wells and just bring them to more people. Instead of just having one location, use the one with a generator and a pump and send it all over the place because we can bless people this way, even in a greater way. So I'm going to challenge you tonight. Some of you have helped us before. Help us again. We just ask you to do it because I believe the Lord will bless you. As you help us with natural water, I believe living water will come to this church. All right? Can you help me tonight? I'm going to ask the pastor to come, and we're going to take care of it now because I wanted to have a better altar service.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to speak to your heart. These buckets are here at the front, and after we say amen, you feel free just to come and bring your offering to the Lord. Father, what a joy it is to be able to sow seed and know that there's a harvest, God. We thank you for the opportunity we have just to bless the nation of Haiti. We thank you, Lord, that we not only provide natural water, but living water. And Lord, I pray your richest blessings upon those who give. We receive the promise of Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Lord. Thank you for your abundance in the lives of your people in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody at one time, just get up and don't knock each other down running to give. Amen. Don't knock each other down. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Hans, I'm glad you're alive. He had a car wreck on the way home from our house, basically, and he's doing good, though, but his car isn't. It's gone, but I'm glad you're here, man. Good to see you tonight. Hallelujah. And listen, out in the foyer, we have the book we've written, Faith for the Holy Ghost. Even tonight, what I'm going to preach about, I was listening to something, and I got thinking, you know what, we'll have a whole generation that does not know about the move of the Holy Spirit if we don't move in the Holy Spirit. We can't let one generation miss because too many families, their kids are not going to full gospel churches because they don't think it's necessary. But the Holy Ghost is necessary. And this book, we've had a lot of good things about it, but we just recently had it translated into Spanish, and we're finding good things with that. I have another book I've written, Rock Solid Principles for Prosperity. I sent that one to Costa Rica to get translated. A lady, she got to the chapter that I talk about tithing. She said, I don't believe what you believe. I'm not going to translate the book. So if you don't believe in tithing, don't buy the book. All right? But tithing is just one of the things that we need to do to be blessed by God. But I will tell you there's other things. And then we have sermons on MP3, 7 classic sermons on the Holy Ghost, and 7 messages to change your life. And these are $10 a piece. So that gives you like 7 sermons for less than a dollar, you know. I think my sermons are better than that, but I'll sell them to you for that, all right? So that just kind of helps us get them around. But if you don't know what MP3 is, you probably don't need to buy that. And then we do have the shirts in the white from small to 3 extra large, whatever, and they're really soft. You'll love them. Again, they're worth 15. I sell them for 20. I came in tonight, and Brother Randy was at my table telling people, these shirts are worth 15, but he sells them for 20. Think he's heard me say that before? All right. Hallelujah. Well, and then, listen, we have some of you that are partners with us. If you'd like to be a partner, we don't put a lot of pressure on anybody, but you know how we were able to do all that we've been able to do during the time? Lots of stuff was shut down, partners. And we found that we were able to continue to bless people. Even one day I got a phone call, and I have an account that's a missions account with just really one church gives to it. And I hardly ever check it because there's not anything ever in it. And I got a phone call, and they said, you got $2,500 in that account right in the middle of Corona. They said, what do you want to do with it? You can do anything you want. I could have spent it. All right, on myself. I could have bought groceries. There's no stipulations on it, all right? And I said, well, let's send it to Haiti and feed some kids. And so while we're able, you know what? If you'll help feed other people's kids, God will help you feed yours. I mean, no, that's how the Bible works. Ephesians 6:8, whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive the Lord, whether he be bond or free. I believe what you do for others, God will do for you. Amen? Do we believe that here? All right, so if you want to be a partner with us, you fill one of these out. We have a little gift for you, and so we're happy to have you on board with us. So when we see one person saved, then you see one person saved. If we see 1,000 saved, you see 1,000 saved. If you, so we got churches that help us and individuals, because you know what? We're all part of the same team. Amen? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. And again, I was just hearing the Lord say, if we don't know about the moving of the Holy Spirit, we'll lose it to this generation if we don't pass it on. So let's talk about the Holy Ghost a little bit. But John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. Somebody one time said to me, why is the name of your ministry Holy Ghost Celebration Ministries? We've had that for 20-some odd years or more, and they said, why do you have that? And I said, well, you know, the Bible says that if you, the Holy Ghost testifies of Jesus. I'm going to talk about that. And if you magnify Jesus, you'll get a lot of people saved. He said, if he be lifted up, all men would be drawn unto him. So we found that when you push on the Holy Ghost and you move in the Holy Ghost, then people get saved. All right? John 14, verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, how many think when the disciples saw Jesus die on the cross, it was really devastating? But these words came to pass. They may not mean as much to you and I. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. And verse 26 says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He said he'd teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Let me talk about that in a minute. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you, Lord, that you're moving in this place. Lord, move in every heart so great and so awesome tonight that no man receives glory and no man receives credit, but only Jesus would be exalted. Lord, we need you. We need revival in America. The world needs revival, but Lord, most of all, begin revival in me tonight. Lord, I pray that there be any distraction going on in our mind. We bring every thought into captivity for the weapons of our warfare. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit in operation now in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, you may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse number 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Didn't just say he'll teach you spiritual things. How many believe that if he'll teach you all things, the Holy Ghost will help you at work? When you get that new operating system and you don't know how to do it, I believe he'll give you one up on everybody else if you'll ask and depend on him. And then he said he'll bring all things to remembrance. My dad is 89 years old. Okay, when you get old, what do they say? You forget. Well, when he turned 70 years old, he already knew a lot of the Bible, but he began to memorize chapters that he didn't know before because he said the Holy Ghost will bring all things to remembrance. So if you go with him anywhere, he is rattling off Scripture. I'm talking Romans 8. He knows the whole thing. Psalm 91. He would take me to the airport some mornings, and I'm not a morning person whatsoever, all right? I am like, morning, I like it to begin around lunchtime, all right? If I could, you know, but it doesn't work out that well. And I am at my peak at 7 o'clock at night because I preached for 30 years at 7 o'clock. So that's when I want to be my best, okay? So if you don't like me tonight, this is my best. I'm trying to prove it to you now. But anyway, my dad was taking me one time to the airport about 4 in the morning. You know, I had a 5 o'clock flight, and he's driving me to the airport, and he's just quoting Scripture all the way, but he's not doing it normally. He's doing it like this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, he sounds like a Catholic priest. Okay, not putting that down. I'm just saying. It was the most irritating thing when you're not a morning person. But I knew he knows the Word of God. So listen, we ought to start standing on the Word of God instead of saying, as you get older, you forget things. Maybe you ought to say, the Holy Ghost brings all things to my remembrance. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight of what the baptism of the Holy Ghost will do for you. What the baptism of the Holy Ghost will do for you. Number one, I want to say it like this. He will make Jesus bigger in your life. He will make your understanding, your revelation. How many understand that the Holy Spirit, He brags on Jesus. Let's read this verse. It says in John 15:26, when the Comforter, we already said the Comforter's the Holy Ghost, when He's come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of me. Verse number 14 of John 16, He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I believe the Holy Ghost brags on Jesus. He will make Jesus bigger in your life. How many know we live in a day where there's a lot of stuff going on? I mean, politics are big, people's opinions are big, people are mad, all these different things. But I think this is the day that Jesus ought to be bigger. So if we want Jesus to be bigger, we don't need less Holy Ghost, we need more Holy Ghost. We need more Holy Ghost. I was preaching in Mexico. Lori and I were pretty young at the time, and she was big and pregnant, or just pregnant and big with a baby, all right? She gave me the fist. I don't know what that means. She did this to me. But, you know, in those days, you wore big clothes when you're pregnant. Now you wear them tight as all get out. I don't know what the deal is, but she wore Oral Roberts tent when she was pregnant. Some of you will catch that, all right. So we're down in Mexico preaching. And we're preaching at the Bible school in Monterrey. And we were dumb. We were young. We drove our motor home into Mexico. We didn't even speak a lick of Spanish. I mean, we didn't know anything. And we're like on the drug dealer road. We had no idea where we were at, all right. But the Lord protected us. You know, sometimes it's good if the ignorant stay ignorant. Sometimes it's better when you don't know everything, you know. So we didn't have anything to fear because we didn't know anything, all right. So we were there in Monterey, and we took the Bible college students, even out to lunch. And some of those kids came from some of the remotest place. And we took them to a pizza buffet. And one of the kids that came from some little remote village, he'd never had pizza before. He just kept coming up and shaking my hand and saying, "Very happy, glad to meet you." That's how he would say it. Very happy. He was so excited about pizza. But one of the young men, his name is Oscar, and Oscar pastors somewhere near, Acapulco. And he pastors there, and Oscar now is doing very well, but he was a very young man. He said, I went to every one of your meetings. I preached in churches all over Monterey. And every night we were having large amount of people saved. And he said, "It's really weird. I don't understand. You're not really preaching Jesus. You're preaching on the Holy Ghost. And yet I'm seeing more people in Mexico saved. Why is that?" I said, "Because the Holy Ghost, He brags on Jesus." The Holy Ghost brags on Jesus. He's the one that draws you to Jesus. There was a great Assemblies of God missionary by the name of Charles Greenaway, and I was very fortunate to be in some of his services, and just a statesman, a great man of God. But Brother Greenaway was preaching before the Iron Curtain had fallen. He's preaching in some of those countries that were right on the edge of the Iron Curtain. And I heard him tell this story that he was preaching in the free country at night, but he would take a tour group over into the communist country during the day, and they would look at old World War II ruins and different things, and they were allowing them across the border to see these things, but you were not to leave the group. But he'd done it so many times that he didn't really feel like looking at the stuff again. He'd been with groups before, but he said that while they were looking at some stuff, he walked away from the group. He was wanting to get the mind of Christ for the service that night in the free country. And he said as he was walking, he was praying in the Holy Ghost. He was praying in tongues. And as he's praying in tongues, he kind of wandered off even further near a grove of trees. And when he got out there, there was a noise he heard. He heard this noise, psst. He said he looked around, and it sounded like it was somebody trying to get his attention, but he didn't see anybody. He keeps praying in the Spirit. He hears that noise again. Psst. Doesn't see anybody. The third time he hears that noise. Psst. He looks over, and behind a tree is a little arm sticking out going like this. He followed that arm over, and it was connected to a little boy about 8 years old. The little boy in broken English said to Brother Charles Greenaway, "Are you the Jesus man?" Brother Greenaway said, "I've been called pastor, I've been called evangelist, I've been called missionary, I've been called preacher, I've been called a lot of things, but never the Jesus man." But he said, "Something on the inside of me said to say, yes, I'm the Jesus man." The little boy said, "Good," and grabbed him by the arm. And he pulled him through that grove of trees, even though he was not supposed to leave the group in this communist country. He went what seemed like a couple of miles, and out in the middle of that grove of trees was a big barn. And when they got there, the barn's door slid open, and inside that barn were about 150 believers asking God to send them a Jesus man. And when he asked them, why did you think I was the Jesus man? They said, "We've been praying that God would send us a Jesus man." And he said, "How do you know about the Lord?" And they said, he said, "You have a Bible." They said, "We don't have a Bible." But they came over with a little torn piece of Sunday school literature. It had the verses Romans 10, 9, 8, and 10. How you can be saved. Believe on the Lord with your heart and confess with your mouth. And it had that on a piece of paper, and they were holding it like it was precious gold, and they said, "This blew across the border and God gave us that, but we're praying that God would send us a Jesus man." What did that little boy see in Brother Charles Greenaway? I believe the Holy Ghost was bragging on Jesus. See, tonight, a lot of us, when you look at your social media, you're not the Jesus man, and you look at what you're doing, you're not the Jesus man, but maybe we ought to pray more often in the Holy Ghost that God would reveal Jesus to this world in this day that we're living, that the Holy Ghost would brag on Jesus. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. How many understand tonight He'll make Jesus bigger in your life? Number two, you have a stronger assurance of who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. You say, what do I mean by that? You have a stronger assurance of who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, tonight, by the Holy Spirit, you know when you're saved. You know when you're out of sorts with God. You know when you got things that you need to change. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. There's something about a Holy Ghost believer. They don't walk around and say, "Well, you know, I don't, you know, you never know." And, you know, they don't walk around all sad, but they walk around understanding that they belong to God, that the Spirit of God is on the inside, that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. I heard a story about a little boy that was playing baseball out in the field, and a man was walking by the field, and he yelled out, "What's the score?" And the little boy, he yells back, "It's 35-0. The man yells to the little boy, "You're really getting beat, aren't you?" The little boy said, "No, we haven't got to bat yet." I mean, no, that sounds like a Holy Ghost believer to me. We might have the score 35-0 against us, but we've read the back of the book and we know that we win. We know that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. I got a word for somebody tonight. You may have walked in here and it feels like the weight of the world is upon you, that everything is against you, but I'm going to tell you something, that He will lift you up. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." How many believe that tonight? See, there's something about a Holy Ghost believer. They know that when you walk in, you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. That you're blessed coming in. You're blessed going out. I don't know. I see some people, you know, I've been to churches and I wonder if they even know anything about the Bible. They all say, "Stretch out your hand toward the evangelist. Let's pray that he's anointed." And I'm thinking to myself, you shouldn't have invited me if I'm not anointed. It's too late by the time I get here. Are you understanding me? I'm going to be like Jesus. When he walked in the house of God, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me." I believe tonight that when you walk in the house of God, you ought to walk in and say, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me and he has anointed me." See, you are here to set the captives free. You are here to bring liberty to those that are bound. You're to preach the gospel to the poor. Are you hearing me? And proclaim liberty tonight. I believe that we can preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number three tonight. I only got one thing to preach and I'm not there yet, all right? The Holy Spirit will make the Bible come alive. Hallelujah. John 16:13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." The Spirit of truth, the Word of God, Spirit of truth. 2 Corinthians 6:3-6. "Who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life." I attended the University of Oklahoma, and I took a religion class. You know, Oklahoma University is known for religion. That was a joke. I took a religion class. And I'm going to tell you, the professor, he knew the Bible from cover to cover. But I'm going to tell you something. I slept through that class every day because he was the boringest guy. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Folks, I don't understand how we can have church without the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have dead, dry church, but with the Holy Ghost, we will have life. The Spirit gives life. "For all flesh is as grass," 1 Peter 1:24-25. "And all glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Pastor and I were talking today about people coming to his door, you know, wanting to spread a cult doctrine to him. You know, there it was not a Bible evangelical type church, and they're coming knocking on his door. And I got thinking about that. Back when Lori and I first got married, we lived in a townhome. All right, I don't know what that means. This was an old townhome. It had a coal chute and a milk chute. Was it? Which was it? I can't hear you, so we had both. Okay, that's all I needed. Okay? So it was an older townhouse, but it was horseshoe in the back. And she'd be at work, and I was at home on a Saturday, and a lot of times these guys would come, and I'd see everybody start shutting their doors when they'd see them coming their way. You know, the guys with the bicycles and the black pants, white shirt, black tie, first name Elder, 20 years old, you know. I didn't have anything to do, so I'd always say, "Oh, my word," you know, and I'd talk to them. Then those other ones come, you know, the ones with the magazine, all right, and usually middle-aged ladies, and they'd come by, and I'd be like, "Man, are you guys Jehovah Witnesses?" And they'd say, "Yeah." I say, "I'm a Jehovah Witness too." I said, "I'm just from a different kingdom." All right, whatever. But you know what? I found most of those people that come around, they say, "Well, our church believes." And they say what their family believes. And there's people that come to Full Gospel Church that will not receive the truth because they go, "Well, that's what grandma believed." But I'm going to tell you something. We don't need to know what grandma believed, your church believed, what somebody else said. But what does the Word of God say? The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Amen. All right, number four. What the baptism of the Holy Ghost will do for you. My prayer life is enriched or improved. My prayer life is enriched or improved. You realize that there's two things that will make you successful in ministry. One of them is compassion, and the other one is intercession. There's other things. But I found that we need both, and I don't think we understand that much about praying for other people. But Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I can remember preaching in Houston, Texas, and a couple came down with their little girl in between them. They said, we're going to divorce court tomorrow to find out who gets custody of the child. We're going to get divorced. And how do you pray as an evangelist? I don't know these people. I don't know if he's an axe murderer and she's crazy. I have no idea. I wanted to take both of their heads and bang them together, you know. But you know what I found? If I pray in the Spirit, I can pray according to the will of God. And I believe there's something that we need in this hour. We need more people praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. I was at a church one time and the pastor said, I don't really like those ladies. They pray all the time in the Spirit. I said, what's wrong with that? But when you pray in the Spirit, you pray according to the will of God. It says, what is it? 1 Corinthians 4:15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with the understanding also. We're real long on singing in our understanding, but we're real short on singing in the Spirit. We're real long on praying with our understanding, but we need to be praying in the Spirit more often. We're going to be full gospel. You got to have both. Amen? All right. Well, my favorite, very favorite story, not very politically correct probably, but don't have to be nervous. My sister is one of my very favorite stories to tell. I've told it, I tell it all the time, okay? So if I've told it here, don't worry about it. I'm going to tell it again. Somebody always asks me to tell it every week. So my sister is 8 years older than me. Her name is Debbie. Debbie's 5'2", and I call her queen size. Okay, whatever. I know you can't say that anymore, but somebody asked me, why do you call her queen size? Well, when I was a kid, remember when all the women wore pantyhose? Okay, I can remember as a kid, my sister, I'm a little boy, she's about 16, so maybe 8. On Sunday morning, sometimes the girls, my two sisters, their pantyhose would have a run in them or a hole in them. And so we'd have to stop by the grocery store, and I'd been with my sister so many times, she'd go on that thing, and it had queen size up there, and you'd look down to her height and weight, and that's where you pick out the pantyhose in that egg. Now, some of you are too young to know what I'm talking about, but the rest of you, all right? Even Joe Namath wore pantyhose. Now we call him Under Armour. Some of you will catch that one later, all right? So anyway, so that's why I call her queen size. She's kind of short and kind of bigger, all right? But one night at our church in Kansas City where I worked for my dad, we had Laverne Tripp and his family come and sing. And Laverne was a great, I think he's still alive, but he was one of the greatest evangelists. You'd think he's a singer, but I'm telling you, when he came, we had more people saved than anybody we ever had. It was crazy. You know, he looks like big-time wrestling, and he can sing and bring people to the altar. Okay, whatever. But anybody wins people to Jesus, I'm for them, all right? So we're having them, and my sister invites one of her friends. My sister's a school teacher. Debbie invites her friend Vicky to church. Vicky is a believer, but not really a full gospel believer, all right? But Vicky's about my height, and at that time, she weighed about 100 more pounds than me. She's a big girl, all right? So after they went to the Laverne Tripp meeting, they did what Pentecostals do. They went out to eat. And they went to Perkins' House of Pancakes and Prophecy. Some of you will understand what that Perkins is like IHOP, okay, or Denny's. But I called it Perkins House of Pancakes and Prophecy because every time I went to this particular IHOP after church on Sunday night, all of Kansas City would be there and there'd be somebody at the door prophesying, the Lord told me, you know, so I just started calling it that. So They go to Perkins and they sit down in a booth that is bolted to the wall. It does not move. Everybody get that? And they're sitting there and they order their meal. My sister has her back toward the door. Her friend is facing, Vicky is facing the door. And all of a sudden after they've ordered, Vicky looks very seriously at my sister Debbie and says, "Debbie, don't look." How many know the first thing you do when somebody says not to? Vicky got even more serious. She said, "Debbie, do not look." She said, "There's four men that have come into Perkins with stocking caps over their face, and it wasn't for Corona. They had guns in their hand. One was at the emergency exit. One was at the main exit. One was at the cash register taking money, and the other one was going around to every table taking people's wallets and their purse and their jewelry." Vicky looks at my sister and says, "Debbie, slide under the table." Okay, you're not getting the picture. Queen size, all right? "Debbie, slide under the table," and not athletic either. I said, "Debbie, what did you do?" She said, "I slid under the table." I said, "What did Vicky do?" She said, "Vicky slid under the table with me." I don't know if you're getting the picture I'm getting, but this is a bigger miracle than the Red Sea parting. All right, so they're both under the table. I said, "Debbie, what'd you do when you're under the table?" She said, "I began to pray in the Holy Ghost." She said, "I'm praying loudly in tongues." I said, "What was Vicky doing? Vicky doesn't believe in speaking in tongues." She said, "Vicky was hitting me on the back saying, 'Debbie, pray, Debbie, pray, Debbie, pray.'" She said, "Those men, the one that was coming around the table, got about one table from them. I don't know whether she saw an angel or the man saw an angel with the gun. I don't know what happened, but they ran out of that place. Nobody was harmed, went out the door as fast as they come, and people began to get up. One man came over and said, 'I'm a backslidden preacher. When I heard you praying in tongues, I gave my heart back to Jesus. Tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. Are you hearing me?' And another came over and said, 'We believe you saved our life.'" How many know there's power in praying in the Holy Ghost? Your prayer life is enriched when you pray in the Holy Ghost. I think we need to pray more often in the Holy Ghost. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Pray more often in the Holy Ghost. Listen, number five, you discover love like never before when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, a greater fullness and abundance of the love of God. How many know a fruit of the Spirit is love? The fruit of the Spirit, one of those is love. How many know you won't be the church grump if you're really Spirit-filled? Don't anybody look around. Every church has one or ten. But you know what? The love of God. There's some people, you get around them and you know that they're Spirit-filled because you know they've been run over. You know people have been mean to them, talked ugly to them, and yet they still have something going on. The love of God, hallelujah, is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. That old song we used to sing, "When nothing else could help, love lifted me." When I want to be grumpy and mean, I got to stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost in me. He'll help me manifest love in unlovely situations. He'll give me wisdom and guidance. He'll help me. He'll counsel me. I believe we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Number six, you begin to discover joy like never before. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." Another fruit of the Spirit is joy. Another fruit of the Spirit is joy. I was preaching in Connecticut. I was in I think around Bristol, Connecticut. And on Sunday morning, I had two services, and I had a service that night. But the pastor at lunch, he said, "Look, before the night service, if you want to, we'll go to a house church." He said, "A bunch of people from Iran meet in a house, and they've been having me teach the word to them at 5 o'clock. We'll be done about 6, and we'll make it to church just right on time. Do you want to speak to the Iranian bunch?" I said, "Sure. Be awesome." And then he says, "Oh, by the way, they're not responding too well when I speak." He told me that after he asked me. He didn't say, you know, they're so awesome, you'll want to be there. No, he just, you know, he didn't tell me they were horrible. He said, man, I have not been having very good response from them, but I want you to try. All right, so I went to that house expecting nothing. All right, that's really because he set me up. He got me all like, okay, they're not going to receive. I'm just going to preach and let the word penetrate their heart. It will not return void, but I'm still having to pump myself up. And I walk in there and he said, we've only been having, you know, about 7 or 8 people. I get to this house. It's about a 2,500 square foot house. It was jam full in every room full of people. They had told people that I had preached in the Muslim nations and they wanted to come hear me. And I started just talking about the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, a 15-year-old boy, he was kind of a chubby boy, big boy. He stands up and starts speaking in tongues in that place with his hands lifted up, tears running down his face. And certain began to happen. People began to jump up and down. People began to have all kinds of manifestation of joy. And I looked over the pastor. He's crying, but they're tears of joy. He said, we've never seen anything like this at one of these house meetings. I'm going to tell you something. There's always peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Are you with me tonight? We need the manifestation of joy. You realize you're a weak Christian if you don't have joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I was preaching in Ukraine. I went there right after the Iron Curtain fell. Lori and I, we took one whole year to raise $10,000, all right? It's because we were too proud to ask people to help us. You know, like, we're not, if God wants us to go, He'll get the money to us. You know, that's the stupidest thing I ever said, okay? Because I'm going to tell you something. Now that I ask, I get there a lot faster. And how many know the good news is not good news if it doesn't get there on time? All right. But I'm over there and I went with a bunch of pastors because I was an evangelist. They sent me to the worst spot, the furthest place away, and they said, we don't know if it's going to be good or not. Lori was 8 months pregnant, and we're going across the Ukraine on these terrible roads, and we're in a little Volkswagen Rabbit diesel, and they had diesel in the back of it, and it stunk, and we had to stop. You know, they said, what about using the restroom? Well, you can stop, but nobody had any toilet paper. You know, it was like COVID-19. And finally, we just went out to the woods. Lori never went out in the woods before. It was very funny. All I said is, if I were you, I'd get a lot closer to the ground. It's windy out. Okay, whatever. Everybody's still okay? But we're out there in the Ukraine, and we preached at a hall that Lenin's statue was still up. And they hadn't torn it down. Most of the people in that crusade were wearing military uniforms. They were no longer in the military, but that's the only clothes they had. It was about 2/3 full of military people. And these people came in, you know, like no expression. Bowling pins with eyes. That's what they look like. No expression. They weren't, you know, like we come to church, hey, how you doing, man? Tell jokes, you know, do funny stuff, talk, and, you know, that's how we come to church. But they walked in very solemn. When I preached, the only emotion they begin to have, when I preach, tears begin to run down these people's face because I'm preaching the gospel of hope. They had hope for tomorrow to be better than today. How many know that's what the word does? And I gave them the invitation, and I gave it like this. I said, I didn't ask you to come to this altar to get an American blessing, but if you want to forsake your old ways and you want to come to Jesus, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. I was saying it like that, and I'm like, I never say that. But the harder I made it, the more they wanted to come. Pretty much everybody in that building got saved. Second night, got more people. The next morning, we were preaching at a house that we had rented for 1 year with that $10,000. We had gutted it. We were paying a pastor's salary for a year. And I preached that morning on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I figured all these people got saved in the crusade. I don't believe you ought to wait 25 years to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because, listen, the blood of Jesus gets you to heaven, but the Holy Ghost will give you victory on the way to heaven. And if you're not an overcomer, you're not making it to heaven. So what does that mean? You just put two and two together. All right, so anyhow, I preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't know any better. I'm like moving my arms. I'm waving the Bible. I mean, I'm going, you know, crazy. I'm just giving it all I got. And I asked people if they want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. 16 people came forward. When I laid hands on them, 15 of the 16 began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. I'd never been out of the country. I was telling the interpreter, when they speak in tongues, tell me. I didn't think I'd know. But I'm going to tell you, I recognize the Holy Ghost all over the world. He's the same. He's my friend. I recognize him. But when those guys begin to get filled with the Holy Ghost, that house erupted. There had been no manifestation of any emotion but tears. But they erupted in all, I mean, they're swirling around like a whirly bird. They're jumping up and down. They're laughing. They're crying. Every emotion that joy can bring, they were having. See, there's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Folks, we need some of this to break loose in our church. We need the joy of the Lord. Let me close with this. One more and I'm done. It's real short too. I believe what the baptism of the Holy Ghost will do for you, you'll have a greater, stronger witnessing power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. He said, you shall be witnesses. Now, I wasn't planning on telling this, but I want to say, I'm just on a mission story telling tonight, okay? A lot of you may have heard this, but when I was preaching in Pakistan, I had a young man come up on the platform one night with quick, crooked, twisted legs, and he was using a stick to walk with. He came up to the edge, and he spoke to me in his English, and it was pretty poor, but he said, can I speak to you? I said, yeah, go ahead. He said, no, in private. I brought him up on the platform, went to the corner. Now, I'm preaching on the edge of Afghanistan. Now, people from Afghanistan, to me, look like people from Pakistan. All right? You understand that? Don't get mad if you're from one of those two countries. But they have same skin color. But there's a difference. In those days, because the Taliban ran Afghanistan, they were much more strict in their dress. So you could tell the Afghani people from the Pakistanis. So this guy is dressed like he's from Afghanistan. And I said, are you from Afghanistan? He said, yes, I came across the border. See, the border was closed. You could not preach the gospel in Afghanistan, but they were coming across the border, hearing me preach and going back. How many know this gospel of the kingdom shall go to all the world and then the end shall come? Jesus is coming soon. This young man, he said, I want you to pray for me. He said, I'm crippled, but I want you to pray for me. But he said, before you pray, I want to tell you how I got the way I am. He said, when I was just a little boy, military men came to our home. They broke open the door. They had their military rifles, and they pointed them at my father and said, tell us where the Bible is. He said, we are Christians. We're Christian in a Muslim nation. We had a Bible in the house. But my dad would not tell those men, and they shot him in front of my eyes when I was a little boy. He said, those military men turned to my brother and said, where is the Bible? He's my older brother. He would not tell. They killed him in front of my eyes. Then they turned the gun on me. But they didn't shoot me. They turned their guns around and began to beat me. He said, I'm just a little boy. But he said, I'm crippled because of what those men did. And he said something. He said, my brother and my father did not die for nothing. He said, can you get me a Bible that I can read? See, if the Bible's not true, why is so many countries afraid of it? If it wasn't true, you just let it come in your room beside the Bible at the Marriott. You know, they have the Book of Mormon right by the Bible there. That's why we don't worry about it, because it's not true. I thought I'm in a full gospel church on a Sunday night. Oh, yeah, I don't think we should talk about other religions like that. Well, all roads don't lead to God from this pulpit. Are you understanding me? Are you understanding me? From this pulpit, it's still that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. All right? You don't get there by your husband getting baptized in water for you. That's baloney. Okay. Just thought I'd make that clear where I stand. All right? So anyway, he said, can you get me a Bible I can read? I said, I'll get you one. If you'll come tomorrow, I'll have a Bible in your language. But think about this for a minute. The Bible said in Acts 1:8, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. We think of witnesses, those guys that ride the bikes, the women with the magazines. But the word witness there in the Greek is the word martus, M-A-R-T-U-S. It's where we get our English word martyr from. He's really saying there, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will give your life for me. He's not asking today for you to die. He's asking you to live for him. That you will live for him and you'll go everywhere telling others about Jesus. Live for him. Witness. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Folks, this gospel, if we love the world as much as Coca-Cola and Pepsi love money, we would have already won the world to Jesus. I've never been anywhere in the world you can't get a Coca-Cola. There's nowhere in the world you can't get a Pepsi or a Coke. They're everywhere. I know North Carolina's Pepsi, but Jesus drinks Coke. I'm messing around. Somebody, you know, I'm not receiving anything from him now. Whatever. There's no refunds on Pepsi offerings either. Okay, listen. Witness. These people have got the Coke all over the world. We should already have the gospel everywhere. But who's it up to? Somebody else? No, it's up to you and I that are filled with the Holy Ghost to give our life for him. Why don't you stand to your feet in this place? Come on. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless your name. Come on, just lift up your hands for a moment. Come on. We're welcome, Holy Spirit, in this place tonight, even stronger. Come on. In the name of Jesus, just lift up your hands and close your eyes and worship him for a minute. I love you, Lord. I glorify your name. I magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord brings liberty. Come on, now just lift up your hands. Come on, invite him into your life right now. Let the Spirit of God begin to move in you right now. Hallelujah. You know, when with your eyes closed, just keep praising him, but listen a little bit here. I believe that some of you can be filled spontaneously with the Holy Ghost. Come on. Just like they were in the book of Acts, they were praising and blessing God. Come on, as you praise and bless God, begin to cooperate with the Lord. Pray in the Spirit. Pray with your understanding right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you. Hallelujah. We magnify you. Come on, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, just ask him to fill you right now. And if you've been filled, ask for a refilling right now. Come on. Hallelujah. I don't know, sometimes when I'm out to eat today, the lady brought me a tea, but then she refilled it two more times. I'm going to tell you, some of us need a refilling tonight. Everybody lift up your hands and ask the Lord to fill you fresh with the Holy Ghost. Let the anointing of God flow in the name of Jesus. Stir up the gift of God within you tonight. Hallelujah. Listen, I want to tell you what I felt the Lord speak to me earlier. When you were up here singing, I heard the Lord say, there are decisions that you are making, but don't be stressed. Don't be worried about them, because the steps of the righteous are ordered of God. He's going to lead you step by step. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You are a child of God. And tonight, I want you to hear this, that you are valuable to Him. You are very valuable to the Lord. And the Lord, it says that you're not just somebody that you can't be thinking the way you used to think. Realize that you are valuable to the Lord. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You belong to God. And with that being said, He backs you. He backs you up. He's got you. He's got you. He's following you up, and He's got His hand upon your life. Lord, let the anointing of God, Lord, let the levels be higher. Lord, let the dream that she has come to pass. Higher levels. Lord, and let it not be as slow as it's been, but Lord, let it be quick. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. In the name of the Lord. You thought He's been slow, but I'm telling you, God's going to do it in a manner that you'll look and say, I don't know how He did it so quick. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody, lift up your hand in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to me tonight with your eyes closed, your heads bowed. Anybody here tonight, you're not where you should be with the Lord. God's been dealing with you. The Holy Spirit's been testifying of Jesus all night, magnifying Him. He's been lifted up. You're not where you should be with the Lord tonight. I'm going to give this altar call just like this. I'm going to give it real simple. If you're not where you should be with the Lord tonight, I'm asking you to get out of your seat and just come stand here facing me. I want to pray with you. Come on, you just say, I'm not really where I should be. I'm not asking what's going on. I'm not asking all the details, but I'm not where I should be, preacher. And I'm asking the Lord to speak to me. You know, I think we need to, there's some things that we did in old church that were pretty stupid, but there's some things. We used to have this old lady during revival. She'd come up to all of us young people and say, are you serving the Lord? And we'd all lie and say, yeah, we're serving the Lord. She said, no, you're not. And she just dragged us to the altar. Man, you know what? Sometimes the move of the Spirit comes, the violent take it by force. I know that's kind of funny, but I'm going to tell you something. It's time that we stop taking these things for granted. We need God to move, and if we can help people come to Jesus, we should do it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, anybody here tonight, you've never been filled with the Spirit, but you want to be. Why don't you come and just stand here with me? Come on. I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I want to be filled with the Spirit. I've never been filled with the Spirit, but I want to be. Lord, we bless your name. We bless your name. Just stay in His presence. I'm not nervous if you're not. Lord, we bless your name. Come on, just keep waiting on the Lord right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we're asking for a mighty move of God in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, I want to just pray over you guys, if you'll let me. I don't even have to touch you, but I want to pray for you. I sense there's a hunger, and it's a hunger that God has put in your heart. But that hunger, you haven't been able to get it satisfied. But the Lord says that this is the day that I'm going to move on your behalf. That this is the day that every obstacle that you speak to will be removed. That every obstacle that you see in every wall and every mountain that you speak to, it will be removed and be cast into the sea. Because there's something that is happening on the inside of you. Faith is risen in your heart. There were times in the past that you doubted and you were fearful, but the Lord sees that now you have stepped into a new realm. And tonight something is exploding in your life. Lord, we declare the anointing of God to flow. Lord, let the Spirit of God move in their heart and move in their life. Lord, we declare the greater days ahead in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, full, full in the name of the Lord. Come on, let God in tonight. Come on, let God in. Let Him in tonight. Come on, all over this building, just keep worshiping the Lord for a moment here. Lord, we bless Your name. We bless Your name. Hallelujah. Come on, what is the Spirit saying? Come on, hallelujah. Come on, somebody help intercede tonight. In the name of Jesus. Come on, there's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Somebody here tonight, you walked in with turmoil in your mind, but right now as you pray in the Spirit, that turmoil's replaced with the peace of God. Hallelujah. Come on, let the anointing of God flow. Let the power of God flow in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your voice and sing with her. Love Him tonight. Come on, love Him tonight. Hallelujah. Now listen to me tonight. I want anyone tonight that you're having issues, problems. It can be new problem or old problem, but you've been having blood sugar problems. I want you to come. I want to pray for you. You got problems with your blood sugar. I want you to come. Hallelujah. Anyone else want to come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Having problems with your blood sugar. Hallelujah. We're just going to worship the Lord. But I want you to, somebody stretch out your hands right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that her pancreas begin to work properly. Lord, that her blood sugar would be in line in the name of the Lord Jesus. Be made whole in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the anointing. Right now, destroy every yoke of bondage. Lord, I pray right now that the Spirit of God would move on Brother Eddie's behalf right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, restore, refresh, and renew in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Come on, God's doing it right now. In the name of Jesus. Let Him touch you right now. In the name, Lord. That which has been destroyed, restore in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, let Your glory flow. Come on, God's pouring it out. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Praise. Hallelujah. 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 Now look at me right now. I want you to pray for your neighbor. If it's your husband or wife or one relative that you're close to, you can touch them. But the rest of you are just going to turn toward somebody. And I want you to just put your hand out toward them like this, and I want you to begin to pray for them. That the gift of God in them would be moving. That they'd be used to be a witness, to live for the Lord. Come on, I want you to pray for somebody that they'd be filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, when you're around somebody that doesn't care, you can pray with them. But I want you to reach out your hand towards somebody. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You that the Spirit of the Lord brings liberty tonight. There's glory now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let every family be touched. Let there be a move of the Holy Spirit in these last days. Lord, let people know about the things of God. Let the Lord, let every limitation be taken off of Carpenter Shop International Church. Lord, every limit. Lord, we declare that the devil is a liar. You got to take your hands off in the name of Jesus. We declare the Spirit of the Lord brings liberty. Lord, You have anointed every one of us. Let the anointing flow in our home. Lord, bring peace and joy. Bring it in, Lord. Bring it in. Bring it in. What we need. The Spirit of truth. Guide us into all truth. Help us, Lord, to remember all things. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You'll help us in all ways, Lord. I pray that the people that are here will be the top at their work. Lord, that they'll be that they'll move up, Lord, even when they're not as qualified. But Lord, You'll move them up because You are the one that qualifies. Lord, in the name of Jesus, promotion comes from the Lord. We declare it now in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody, lift up your hands and sing it again. Come on, hallelujah.
Give the Lord a shout of praise tonight, would you? Come on, put your hands together. Father, we bless You tonight, God. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. We thank You, God, for the moving of Your Holy Spirit in our hearts tonight, God. Father, we thank You for an online audience, God, watching from their homes. We pray, Lord, that You would visit them in power in the Holy Ghost. Give us a hunger and a thirst, Lord, for Your presence, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Your word declares that we shall be filled in Jesus' name. God, visit Your church with hunger. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. High five somebody on the way out, would you? Bless them in Jesus' name. God bless you guys.